Shalom, and welcome to another program of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. Well, this is going to be a rather special program. Yeah, it's Charlie Bernhout, and it's a program that is sponsored by the Cantorial Society. And we're going back about 6.5 years ago when I interviewed my dear friend, cantor Danny Gildar, who is just sorely missed. What a wonderful person. And we still just can't get it out of our heads that he's no longer with us. But he is with us in the soul. And I think you might find this interview I did about 6.5 years ago, you should find this of interest. And after that interview, I'm going to play a selection from Bensian Shenker at the age of 13, something that was recorded in 1938 when he was 13 years old. Okay, so let's get to the Gildar interview, and then we'll hear Shenker for the rest of the program. I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone my good friend and the outstanding, the world's greatest, if you will, accompanist for Chazanim, and he's also a very fine voice teacher, Danny Gildar. Shalom, Danny.
Shalom, Charlie.
Danny, let's begin just by telling us where you were born and where you were raised.
Yes, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, October 2nd, 1945. I'm about to celebrate my 70th birthday pretty soon. And I was raised in the, I was born in Mount Sinai Hospital, and we lived in the city until 1957 when we moved up to the suburbs, suburb of University Heights.
When did you first become interested in Jewish music?
Well, I'll tell you, I started out in music at age 4, actually. I was sort of what you call a child prodigy. I was able to play music by ear on the piano, you know, without having any training. I used to sit and play themes off the radio, themes off the television, and so on. And my uncle, Oliver Sholem, who was a professional musician, professional pianist and flutist, discovered that I had great ability. And at age 5, he enrolled me in the conservatory, Cleveland Institute of Music.
At age 5?
At 5, I started, yes. And all the teachers over there were all his friends, you know, in the theory department and so on.
Uh-huh.
And they started me in music, so I was really reading music at age 5 and 6 already. I was already able to read.
You were playing the piano.
I started, yes, very early. And the teacher would play something on the piano. I was able to write it down, on notes.
Uh-huh.
at early age. And when I turned 8, my uncle started me on flute lessons, so I really play the flute also. I don't have the time today to practice it anymore, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
But so I really have my uncle to thank for my beginnings in music. As far as the Chazon is concerned, my grandmother, Alea Sholem, and grandfather, Oliver Sholem, had an old Victrola years ago, and they had old 78 records, which I'm sure you are very familiar with, being a collector as I am. And they had the records of Yossel Rosenblatt. So I began to listen to those records and I was able to repeat back some of it and got very interested in it. And I even started to be able to write down the music also. I still have some of those early notations, which I laugh at today when I look at them. You know. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's an incredible story.
Early.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you became interested just through hearing the records?
Through hearing, Rosenblatt was my first inspiration because my grandmother had a recording of Tao. I'm sure you're familiar with that piece.
Mm-hmm.
That he sings on a recording with together with Malofsky, I think it was Levi Rosenblatt, or
Malach,
brother-in-law of Kaufman. He made, I think, several versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to repeat back, and that was my first piece that I got involved in, and then all went on from there. And I started to get interested in records and started to buy the LP. They started putting out the LP reproductions, you know, of these old records.
Yeah, Greater Recording and others, yeah.
Yeah, the Brown record, you know, the Rosenblatt with the brown cover. I think I still have my original LP, which is probably so scratched you probably can't even hear anything on it anymore from playing it so much.
Yeah. So then that was through your teenage years. Then
happened? I also started to play for weddings where that's a cousin was singing. At age 9 or 10, I was already playing wedding ceremonies where they were still singing. The singer was still singing Because. You remember that song?
Sure, sure.
You know, those old songs, I Love You Truly and all that kind of stuff, including the Mendelssohn Wedding March.
Oh, wow.
And the other stuff that which they were still using in those days. So I would get hired. I think I would get $5 or something.
Uh-huh.
And if there was a chazan, I was playing along, and I already knew how to do that at a very early age already.
So then did you take courses in music theory later on?
Yeah, sure. I was a student at the Cleveland Institute of Music, where we studied keyboard harmony, regular harmony. There was something called Velcro's Eurythmics, which was a sort of a gymnastic thing where you walked one rhythm in your feet and you clapped another rhythm in your hands. It was created by this French person by the name of Velcro's, and that helped you to learn how to play cross rhythms and stuff. So I had a very thorough education, thanks to my uncle, who, when my uncle passed away in 2004, when I gave the eulogy, I spoke about the fact that my success is probably, I owe most of my success to him, because he was the one that put me into music. And then from the going into regular music led me into Chazonis eventually, and Jewish music, Yiddish and so on. And I also learned to speak Yiddish through my grandmother, grandparents, because, and my parents also spoke Yiddish when they didn't want us to understand what they're saying, you know?
Yes, of course.
So I decided to master this language. Musicians have good ears for language anyway. So I was able to pick this language up, so they couldn't really talk behind my back anymore because I understood everything they were saying.
Yeah. You also speak Hebrew?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you live in Israel?
No. I studied, you know, and I have a flair for language. I can I pick up the language easily. So and I have some of my voice students. I teach voice in Lakewood, New Jersey, twice a week, and many of my students some of them speak Yiddish. And I have occasionally Israeli students where we do the entire lesson in Hebrew language.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I understand you also can give lessons via the phone.
Yes, I do. I do that. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get me to get into this Skype thing, but the only thing I have at the moment is an iPhone. I have not come into the computer world yet. I'm probably going to end up doing it very soon, and I'll have to have my granddaughter teach me how to use it.
Well, thank God for the grandchildren, that's for sure.
Yeah, because they understand a lot more than we old folks understand.
So then you got involved with the cantorial circuit. I mean, you tell me how that developed.
In 1964, I decided to move to the East.
In what year?
64.
64, uh-huh.
Yeah, I decided to move to New York because, you know, that's where it was all happening over there. That's where you had the Koussevitzky brothers. That's where Genshoff was. That's where all the luminaries who I used to listen to on the Cleveland radio program on Sunday. There was a chazan in Cleveland by the name of Nissenson, and he used to run a Sunday show where he played cantorial music, Hasidic music, whatever it was in those days,
mm-hmm.
and Yiddish. And I said, boy, I would love to be in an area where these people are all floating around, so I could go and hear them in person and get become part of the scene. So I did, and I went and I studied actually privately with David Koussevitzky, who's a accompanist I became eventually.
Uh-huh.
And I encountered Shalom Katz. I played for Moshe Genshoff. I even played with Shmuel Vigoda. He was quite old already by that point. but he lived until almost 100 years old.
Yes, yes, and he wrote an interesting book also about Chazanes.
Yes, I've read it already a few times. A very interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
And I even have some interviews. I have in my collection, I have interviews with him. I have interviews with David Kosovitsky, interviews with Danto, and different things.
Dan, you have to share that with me so I can share it with the audience. These are historical.
Yeah, I think some of these things are from the project that Mark Slobin, I think, did.
The Chosen Voices.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that's already out and available. That's maybe where these things came from. Probably.
I see. Okay, I'll have to listen to the. There was a CD with this book. I have to. I've listened to it in the past, but it's been quite a while. So
the CD includes all the interviews there?
I don't know. I'm going to listen to it again. But so you were in the New York area, and you accompanied all these famous Chazanim.
I started to get involved. I played originally with the Zimmelman brothers. When they became the Zimmel brothers, and then they took off the EL and became Zim brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yes. Their father was a Chazan also, whom I also met.
Uh-huh.
His father was a Chazan in Portland, Maine.
Yes.
I believe it was.
I think it was Samuel.
And I played with them, and when they were first starting out, when they were first fledgling duo, you know.
Yes.
In the beginning years, in the 60s.
Yes. Those were great years. And then you spread out really are international.
Yeah, then I got involved with it. Then I was involved in the beginning phases of several careers. You know, Bencio Miller, for example, my dear friend for over 40 years. I had a lot to do with the beginning stages. Where, you know, we used to have the conventions in Grossinger's Hotel.
Yes.
I don't know if you were involved in that.
No, that was before my time.
Yeah, so we used to, there were the conventions, and I used to organize in the lobby after hours. We used to have what we call a jam session.
Oh, well, wait a second. No, I did attend some of those. Yes, I remember Saturday night, it would go on until early in the morning.
Yeah, I wish I could get some recordings of some of that stuff. There were hours and hours of stuff there. I used to run around with my Norelco 101 reel-to-reel portable tape recorder that looked like a radio, if you remember what those were.
Interesting.
Yeah. Except I didn't have the presence of mind to turn the machines on when we were doing the jam session. Yeah, there was hours of material.
I know.
So somebody like Yaakov Mutzen, for instance, got... his first exposure over there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Duda Fischer even was there. Louis Dantov Vasholem sang at night. Pinchas Rabinovich. All these people that are anything today got up there when they were not known the way they are today. And they started to get concerts and things, which I was very happy about. You know, very happy that I was able to help somebody, you know.
Yes, it must be very gratifying.
Very gratifying, and these people have international careers today.
Mm-hmm.
And it all, I'm not going to say necessarily started there, but I know that it was a big help, because some of the best work that was done at those conventions used to happen at these jam sessions, because the formal concerts, everybody's nervous, they want to make sure they do well, they get uptight. When we used to take the jackets off, get up there informally, you know, just have a good time, people were sitting out there. One jam session went till 6 in the morning.
Well, when Benny and I ran our Shabbos weekends on Saturday night, they were open mics or jam sessions, and we certainly came across some very interesting and wonderful new talent. You may be aware that Chaim Wiener recently came out with YouTubes of a lot of his concerts in Eastern Europe and concerts
at his
home. Well, I was
involved with all that.
I know, you were in them. I know you don't have a computer and you don't go to YouTube, but you got to get your
granddaughter. No, but I have YouTube on my phone. I could access it through the phone.
Oh, really? Okay, so you really should look up Chaim Wiener Chazanes or a Cantor.
I have the original recordings of those things on VHS tapes.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, we got sets of those when we did this. We were all given sets. You know, they're in big boxed things with a brochure inside and everything. I have most of that over here.
I see. So you were involved with Chaim Wiener from the beginning.
Well, the way I got involved with Chaim Wiener is an interesting story in itself. In 1980, I think it was, that was the year I went over with David Kusovitsky of Shalom. We did a concert in Heichal HaTarbut, you know, in the Mann Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
We did a half a show, and the other half was the Dudu Fischer and Avi Albrecht. I think they had, they called themselves in those days Achim Fischer. So one half of the show was David and I, and the other half was them. There was, could have been about 3,000 people there.
Yes.
And while I was in Israel, Chaim Wiener celebrated, I think, a bat mitzvah or something of his daughter. I believe it was, or something. There was something like that. And that's where I first met him. And David had already been involved with him before that. And then from there, he decided to start to do concerts in Florida. And he used to have parties at the house, at his home in Biscayne Bay, I think it was, where he lived before. He moved from there since. And he used to have house parties, catered parties, poolside, you know. And inside he would set chairs up and there was a grand piano and we used to do concerts in the house.
Well,
are you familiar with Irving Cutler?
No.
Irving Cutler was his sidekick. He just passed away a couple of months ago at age 92. And he used to be his helper, you know, associate. He would set up the talent, he would arrange everything. And these concerts were, those are also recorded someplace. Everything he did, I think he always recorded.
Yes, well, I think he intends to put most of them on YouTube.
You'll see me there too, mostly.
Oh, yes, you know? Yes, I've seen you already. And I know he also was involved with cruises, I believe.
He got into the, associated with the Lubavitch, you know, with Chabad. He did a series of cruises as well, which I also was part of. First, Costa Rica was the first, you know, Yehuda Shiffman.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided to do also in association with American Express and Chabad. And he ran concerts. We went to Alaska. We went several places. And we used to have grand concerts in these cruises.
Yes, I've heard that they were really magnificent.
I'm sure all that's recorded too someplace.
So you've been really traveling the world, spreading Chazonis, and how do you? I'm constantly amazed how you can just sit at the piano, and I've seen this at the Kumsitzim that we ran, for instance, at the Westside Institutional. You would sit at the piano, and someone would come up and say, "Here's the song, and play it in this key," and with no music, you just are able to beautifully accompany these singers. I'm in awe of this.
You see, first of all, I have so much knowledge, so much chazonis in my head, and have been with it for so many years. So I know you develop a tremendous repertoire in your head. And secondly, I'm conversant in all the keys, and I as well as playing from the sight reading, which I do also very well. I see a lot of people in the beginning. It's an interesting story. David Kusovitsky, for example, the Shalom, who, by the way, was one of the finest gentlemen you want to meet.
Uh-huh.
This is how it started, or how I started with him in 1978, I think it was. I lived prior to being up here. I lived in Buffalo, New York, where I was a chazan there for 9 years.
Wait a second. And you didn't even mention that. Where in Buffalo?
I was in, first started out in the city, and then the synagogue moved up to the suburbs, and they moved up to Amherst. Well, are you familiar with Buffalo?
No, but that was before you came to New York City.
I'm in Philadelphia. I was a chazan over here for 26 years, and so that's why I came up east here. And Wait a minute, let me get this straight here now. Oh, yes, I was in New York when I left Cleveland, uh-huh. And then from there, I got a position in Buffalo.
Oh.
And then from Buffalo, I got a position in in Philadelphia.
Well, during that time, when you were in Buffalo, were you accompanying Chazanim in concerts?
Yeah, I was accompanying. Ben Sion was in Toronto at the time.
I see.
Ben Sion was in Shari Tvila in Toronto.
Okay.
And I used to go in. If there was a concert, I would go in and play. I played with Harold Klein, with Tibor Kelin of Shalom, whoever the Chazanim were around those days.
I see.
So one year they brought David Kosovitsky to do a concert in Shari Tvila, the shul where Ben Sion was chazan. And he decided to use somebody locally. He used to use Reuven Kosakoff. You heard that name?
No.
Yeah. Reuven Kosakoff was a very fine composer, musician, pianist. And he got old and sick, and he couldn't do it anymore. So Ben Sion told him, he says, why don't you take Danny Gildar to play for you? He didn't know that I read music. He thought I play only by ear, you know? So he wanted somebody that could read. So he decided to audition me. So I went to Brooklyn. He lived in the Caton Apartments on Ocean Parkway. And I went up there. And the first thing he did, he threw in front of me his piece, Ano Abdo de Kutcher Barichu. You familiar with that?
I believe so.
No, it's it's a very famous.
Sure.
And it was written in the key signature of 7 flats. So, which is one of the hardest keys to read in. So he threw this down, probably figuring that I probably wouldn't be able to play it. So he stuck it down on there. I played it perfect. And then he threw down his piece, Liederkranz, which is a conglomeration of about 26 Yiddish songs all tied together, arranged by Leo Love. You heard that name before?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So he put that down. It took about 41 pages. And I read my way all the way through it. At which point I was sold already. And he told me, as a matter of fact, he says, one phrase, he says, that I played it, he says, you know, he used to talk very high, you know. He says, you play this better, he says, than anybody. He says, sometimes they don't play this part, you know. So I do good imitations, too.
Yes, I know.
So he, and I was sold, and then I started to travel around with him. We went to Boston, we did the show in Israel. Every year, the Temple Emmanuel in Borough Park, you know, but was his shul. We did yearly concerts there,
mm-hmm.
And that's how I got with him. So, Ben Sion was really the one that sold him on the fact that he should take me to as a accompanist.
I see.
Then, of course, once I was with him, I started to play with Genchoff a lot. I played with the Sholem Katz. I played with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did many concerts together.
Well, I'm sure that every chazan of note since the 70s, 60 or 70s, you've accompanied one time or another.
For sure. I played with Misha Alexandrovich.
Mm-hmm.
I did work with him in concert because he at one time was a chazan in Toronto.
I see.
So we did several concerts together, and I played with all of them, with the Bagla Lasholem. I worked quite a bit with David Bagley, you know, mm-hmm. Of course, on those trips.
Yes.
Where Stern was there, and Arya Brown of Lasholem was there, Dante of Lasholem. Unfortunately, quite a few of these wonderful talents are no longer here.
No, but there are some interesting talents that are on the rise.
True. But we miss those great luminaries. You know, mm-hmm. that we're always saddened when one of them leaves this earth.
Sure, you know? that's for sure.
And unfortunately, my good young friend, Moshe Shulhoff of Shalom, that was a big tragedy.
Can you imagine, Danny, it's 2 years. This June, we're in July, just a week or two ago, is the second Yahrzeit.
I attended the funeral.
I was there. I went to the cemetery also, and I did a special a couple of weeks ago on Shulhoff. He was terrific.
Very, very, very sad.
Yeah, I think he was 65 or 66 years old. It's too young.
The cancer went through him very fast.
Yes. I think we were together at his last concert up in New Rochelle.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
That was with Ben Sion Miller, I think, and Yankee Lemmer.
And Yankee Lemmer, correct.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be another concert this year, I think. I spoke to Tantalus, you know.
Yes.
I saw him Where did I see him? I saw him recently, and I think he mentioned he's going to probably be organizing another show this year.
Yeah, they do some great work. Tantalf does some great great work there. Yeah. So I just want to ask you, you mentioned Rosenblatt as one of your earlier favorites. Let's not talk about living cantors, because I guess that would get to be an issue, but who were some of the other great cantors from the past who influenced you the most?
Well, of course, Mordechai Hirschman, Klartin, you know, Ber Lechagi, or whoever were recording in those days. You know,
mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Sirota, of course, phenomenal voice.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Of course, we don't have any idea probably what it sounded like really in person.
I know.
People I've spoken to said that he had one of the most powerful voices of anybody.
Yes.
That you couldn't sit in the second row even without your ears popping, you know?
Yes.
That it was so powerful. I'm talking without a microphone.
Mm-hmm. And it's so sad, of course, he was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto, I think in 43. But as you know, as a collector of the old recordings, some of the recordings were done rather primitively. And it's really amazing that we were even able to get the sound that we are able to get today.
He recorded originally on cylinders. His first work was done on cylinders. I think he may have been the first cousin that recorded altogether, I think.
I know you have some old cylinders, don't you, of Kazanis?
I don't have of him. But I have about 100 Jewish cylinders, Yiddish and a little bit Kazanis, all announced in Yiddish on the Edison wax, 2-minute wax cylinders.
Well, Danny, we have to record that. I want to do a program of that. I have to come down and record, because I have no Yiddish cylinders. Obviously, I have the 7-8.
You have any Jewish cylinders?
None. I have hundreds of cylinders, but I was never able to come up with
them. I have to tell you how I got this. This is a very interesting story. You know, there used to be a gentleman in Brooklyn by the name of Konigsberg.
Yes.
Nothing to do with Cousin Konigsberg, I think, unless it's a cousin.
Yeah, didn't he have a publication?
Yes. Antique Phonograph Collector.
Yes, he was great.
So I used to get, they used to send newsletters and stuff.
Sure.
I used to pay dues every year. I don't even know if he's alive anymore.
I tried to track him down a few years back, and because he was a font of great information for lovers of the old
Vitrolas. He had an ad in the phonograph paper. It said, original Jewish 2-minute cylinders. Somebody in Florida, I can't remember, and it was years ago, in original packing. It was an original, I have the original box. It's a cylinder box where you send cylinders. It's a wooden box. Beautiful piece. The box itself is probably valuable, you know. And in every one of them is in an original box, and it had even typewritten list written in longhand in Yiddish writing. And they're all flawless cylinders. What I did, I recorded them years ago on reels, you know, because I was afraid that I was going to break them, you know, because they're very fragile.
Of course.
And I put them away, and they're sitting in my cabinet in the basement.
Well, that doesn't help me, and that doesn't help my listeners. Danny, I got to come down and record them, because, oh my gosh, you know, cylinders. I've heard that they were cylinders, but I in all my travels.
The only way to record them, we would have to probably take them to somebody that had. See, I have my cylinder players here.
Yes.
The only way that I could record is I would have to just put a microphone in front of the horn, you know.
Well, that's the way to do it.
Actually, there are electronic ways of doing this now. That people have electronic hookups where they can attach it to the machine where you won't get any interference, you know, like a fire engine going by or a garbage truck grinding garbage, you know.
Yeah, but not of spring Victrolas. That's probably good for electric phonographs.
But they have certain processes now where you can record a cylinder directly, so you can get rid of some of the surface noise and stuff, you know.
Are you talking about a cylinder or a 7-8 RPM?
No, cylinders. I have cylinders. There are ways.
I haven't seen it.
Electronically.
Okay, so let's do it. Let's do it, Danny. I mean, we have to share this with the world. Anyway, I just want to ask you one crazy question. Where do you think Chazanis is going?
Well, I'll tell you, in the concert field, the Chazanis seems to be growing. I mean, there seems to be an interest in coming to the concert. The problem is that we need to get the chazonim back in shul, at the omud, you know, at the pulpit. This is the frustration. How do we get the cantor back on the pulpit, on the bima, to really do what he really, this is what he's really supposed to do, is to daven and be a shliach tzibur for the olam, you know?
Yes.
And unfortunately, many in the Orthodox field, there's not the interest in it, which there should be, because there's a certain stereotype that they associate a chazan with dragging it out. They associate a chazan with saying the words over so many times. The chazan, he's only there to entertain. This is the prevailing opinion today, which is a false opinion. A chazan can daven shorter than a bal tevila, and it will be a much more quality presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And the words will come out right, the nusach will be correct. Because I have been at minyonim, where balei tefila, you know, regular
sure.
people from the audience get up and daven. Sometimes it could take a half hour longer than a chazan would take, you know?
Yes.
This is what we need to do. And I know that you've been a champion of this concept also. And we've discussed this before.
Yes, yes.
We need to get the chazan back in shul.
Well,
and this is what we should be working toward.
The
concerts is another thing.
Yes.
There are concerts happening now. You know, Israel... Chazonis is very popular.
Yes. Well, I had a crazy idea that there should be a Chazonis month. We'll take 1 month, and every shul in America during that month would bring one chazan, or maybe even two.
That was wonderful.
And you know what? If every shul would just bring in a chazan for one Shabbos, there'd be a lot of work, and maybe even do it twice a year. But... let's see, National Chazanut Month. What do you think of that, Danny?
You know, that we already have Jewish Music Month already.
Uh-huh.
That
okay.
The Shabbos to do it would be Shabbos Shira.
Uh-huh.
When we read the Ojashir Moshe, you
right.
know, the song of the Red Sea.
Yes.
That would probably be the time to do it.
Okay, listen, we have to organize that. We have a lot of work to do, Danny, but I just want to tell you that... I am so pleased and proud to know that you that we have a good relationship, and I'm honored when I see you and hear you, because you, by the way, you help the chazan, and so, a lot of people don't understand this, but sometimes when the chazan drifts a little or doesn't quite move in the right direction, you save them with your piano, and you have that ability, which is so incredible.
How about the one that left out an entire page of a piece?
No.
That happened. I had one, this is a session itself. I had one cousin, who will remain nameless,
okay.
who had a very poor ear, and by the time he got finished with the song, he was already one note higher in key already.
Uh-huh.
He kept climbing higher and higher, going sharp, you know, in music.
Uh-huh.
So my ear went right along and changed the key as we went along. And I don't think to this day he realizes that he didn't end up in the same key he started in.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well,
so that's why they call me, because they know that in any kind of emergency situations, I even had... things when I was working with David, you know, because when I worked with David, it was the end of his career, was
uh-huh.
the last 6-7 years.
Right.
Sometimes he would need a little bit of a breather.
Yes.
So I would play something, improvise something to mm-hmm. fill in, so he can. And I sense, being a voice teacher and a singer myself,
yes,
and a chazan, I could sense that he needs a little breath. So I did it, and then by the time I got through, he was revived. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. That's fantastic.
Then there are those that play exactly what's written, and they would get flustered in this kind of situation, you know?
Well, Danny, just my closing thought is we have a lot of work to do. We're going to do those cylinders. We're going to bring them to the audience. And I really want to come down to your home in Philadelphia and go over your collection. We keep threatening to get together, and I think it's time. You're going to be 70 already. I'm going to be 80 already. Time is going by much too fast, and we have
yeah,
to do
I've
it.
Reached, I have reached the next plateau, as they uh-huh. used to say on the $64,000 question, if you remember that show.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Danny, I wish you and of course, your wife, I know she, we wish her a foolish lame, but I wish you many more years of good health and keep on doing the great work that you do with Chazanis, and just be healthy.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that was an interview done about 6 years ago, and I sat here crying. Just if you would see me, the tears are. It's like he's right here. He's alive, and he was so wonderful, Danny Gildar, and sorely missed. That's for sure. And I'm just figuring this out. Okay. I'm going to be playing Bensian Shaker. Now, there is a song that they have. Here it is. Okay. It's from 1938, when Bensian Shaker was 13 years old. And this was a classic that he sang. I hope that the family is listening. I'm sure they'll enjoy hearing this right now. Okay, let's go. Well, primitive recording from 1938. There is a way, 1938, yes, there is a way to get rid of those scratches, but unfortunately I don't have the ability. Maybe some listener can tell us how to clean it up. Okay, we're going to hear a few selections of Bensie and Schenker to close out the show. The first selection will be Kale Adon. Let me just set this straight, and I think we will get it. Kale Adon.
Alle kolla masim baruch umevairach befi kol anishama godeloi vetu voi male yaylam Al chayu zakoidesh v'nedor b'chavoyd al ha-merkava z'chus u'nishoy lifnei chisoy Chesed v'rachamim maleichim v'oidoy Toi v'im m'yoy roiz Shebora eloi keinu Yitzoram b'das Bevina o vaskel bevina vaskel koy ya u gevor no san pa lini yo vays moy shlim bikerer teve mile Cultivar القمر عم تيجي فارس وجدول تيجي فارس وجدول سرافيني بخايس يوي فاني ها كويدش
هيني كيل coming up right now.
Hinei kei Yeshua vasi El vetach v'lo yevchot Yozi v'zim raska Hashem V'yehi yili Yeshua Hinei kei Yeshua vasi El vetach v'lo Yazi bizim raska Hashem Vahidi Yeshua Hinem leken Yeshua Asi Evetach v'lo yepad Yazi bizim raska Hashem Vahidi Yeshua Hinem leken Yeshua Asi
Evetach v'lo yepad
Yozi bezim raska Hashem
Vayei li Yeshua
Dinei kein Yeshua osi Evetach v'lo yefod Yozi bezim raska Hashem Vayei li Yeshua
Dinei kein Yeshua osi Evetach v'lo yefod
Yazi bezim raska Hashem Vayidli Yeshua
Mav deal coming right up, Shankar.
Bein koidesh lichoi Ui chatoi seinu hoi imchoi Zareinu vichasveinu Yare bekachoi Ichakoi chovim bad loi Ui yoi pono kitzeir toi Ekro keilo lai goi me Oy oma shoy med Oma shoy med Oso beker vigam eloi lo Tzidikos chok yar tovoyr Al chato vayavoy
Omar Hashem coming up.
Omar Hashem Yakoy Al tiro avdi yakoy Bochar Hashem yakoy Al tiro avdi yakoy Gohar Hashem Es yakoy al tiro al di yakoy Gora kovlecho mi yakoy al tiro al di yakoy Yashreish Yaakov al tiro av di Yaakov Yevered mi Yaakov altira ave di jacoi se colmo i risolvois di jacoi altira ave di jacoi ed vas i suois jacoi altira di jacoi toia vum oi lecho jacoi altira di jacoi io potecho iacoi valtiro avdiacoi Ciloi nachas iacoi valtiro avdiacoi Loi Jacoi, altira ave di Jacoi. Altiro avdi jacoi Nidis pa Hashem jacoi Altiro avdi jacoi Slachno li avoi jacoi Altiro Avdi Jacoi Hato Hoshem Leim Shvupos Jacoi Altira Avdi Jacoi Odo Hashem Es Jacoi Altira Avdi Salve Yeshuais Yakoi Altira Avdi Yakoi Koi Koi Yakoi Altira Avdi Yakoi Roni besimchi liakoi altiro avdiakoi Shav Hashem es shvus yakoi altiro avdiakoi Titein Leve Jacoi Altira Ave di Jacoi.
Well, that was Benzion Shanker, and this is Charlie Bernhout, hoping that you enjoyed this hour and the historical recording of our dear late departed Danny Gildar, and listening to Shanker at the age of 13. Don't forget to tell your friends about the program. Yes, word of mouth is the best form of advertising. Come on, you can make a phone call. Tell a couple of friends to tune in. Got to keep it going. Yes.